Sometimes in theology, we like to use big words and big terms to describe biblical truths. And perhaps in confirmation, you remember the term vicarious atonement. Atonement is the payment that makes us one with God. Vicarious means in the place of, a substitute. But since I sometimes have trouble spelling big words, vicarious simply means for us. One of the examples of vicarious atonement took place in the Old Testament on Yom Kippur, the great day of atonement. On that day, the high priest took the two goats. The second goat was called the scapegoat, because the high priest symbolically took all the sins of the people of Israel in the past year and put them on that goat. That goat got blamed and was banished from the camp to the wilderness. The battle between David and Goliath was vicarious in the place of. David represented the people of Israel, Goliath the Philistines. Which of those two men won determined the fate of an entire nation. But I'm going to give you a little practical illustration of the word substitute, vicarious. That's going to take a great deal of imagination on your part. Imagine that Coach Williams found out that I had 1 year of high school eligibility left. And he asked me to suit up and play against Blair Taylor. About 30 seconds into the game, he decided to make a substitution. He sent my grandson, Paul, in as the substitute for me. Remember, this is my illustration. He scored 35 points. But what was even more remarkable, Daniel Hine is grinning under his mask. What's even more remarkable is the next day the box score came out and it said, John Schermbeck, 35 points. Paul not only came in for me, but everything that he did was credited to me. That'll never happen. Isaiah gives us the beautiful picture of the substitutionary work of Jesus. He writes in Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Why would the Holy Son of God become man, despised and rejected by men? Why would God punish Jesus so that in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he anticipated what was about to happen, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? Why would Jesus be in such agony at the cross that he'd cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why would God turn his back on his holy Son? Isaiah says, for us. Jesus, the Holy Son of God, became man, born of Mary, so that he could become our substitute in the fullest sense. He would live for us. He would die for us. Everything he did would be credited to us. Jesus bore our griefs. And the Hebrew word has the idea of physical diseases. All the results of sin were placed on Jesus. Jesus carried our sorrows, the griefs and burdens which are a part of our life because of our sinfulness and the sinfulness of this world were placed on Jesus. Isaiah goes on, he was pierced for our transgressions. And 700 years before Jesus came and died on the cross, Isaiah pictured him as pierced. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that we deserve that brings us peace was upon him. Jesus lived for us. Jesus died for us. He was the perfect substitute. He was the lamb that carries away the sins of the entire world. And in Isaiah, the contrast could not be any stronger. We are the ones who sin like sheep. We have gone astray, each one to his own way. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. He, as true man, committed no sin, and yet he suffered and died for us. The miracle of the cross is that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He was our substitute in our place, in our stead. He took upon our sins and paid for them. And then we, who were sinful, are declared righteous and holy. God made him to be sin so that we might become the righteousness, the holiness of God in connection with him. And the entire gospel is summed up in these two words, for us. Listen again, 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah wrote, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Our closing prayer is from the familiar order of service on page 5 that many of us grew up with. And sometimes we use this so often that we take it for granted. Let us pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and the obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And then you hear, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. And so may in faith the words for us become for me. And we close with the first stanza of hymn 142.